June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
And it's time for us to say good morning to Mr. Richard Smith. Richard, good morning and welcome. VOB 92.9 FM and Sagicor.
Good morning, Ronnie, and of course, good morning to all you listeners out there. Always a pleasure to be here, sharing the information in terms of hurricane preparedness. And of course, today is going to be no different. Today, we're going to take a stab at sharing the information on the role of the emergency shelter.
And their function, and indeed, the locations, because some people need to know that there are emergency shelters and different types as well, with different types of access. So let's look at the role first of all. What is the role of an emergency shelter?
Ronnie, the primary role of an emergency shelter is to provide a safe shelter in the event of the approach of an emergency, or in some cases after the emergency. The emergencies are not limited to hurricanes. They can be fires, they can be earthquakes, tsunamis, even aircraft crashes, to be honest. And some of these hazards can potentially be more devastating than a hurricane. Sheltering in a government or national emergency shelter should never be your first option, however. You know, you should always try to make prior arrangements to shelter with family members or friends, maybe even neighbors. So, and especially with COVID in mind, you probably would find yourself a bit more comfortable with a family member. But wherever you go, just remember, you need to take provisions with you. It's not a hotel. It really is a safe shelter. And one of the realities of emergencies and disasters of any kind is that people may be forced to leave their homes because of the threat at odd times. But shelter is one of those things that, you know, we all need. We all need to have that protection from the elements, so to speak. So in addition to water, food, health, personal care, shelter is one of those things that is critical to your survival during an emergency or disaster. In addition to survival, good shelter also promotes health, and it safeguards the population from potential negative impacts, such as exposure to the physical environment. Emergency shelters, like I said, Ronnie, they're not hotels. They're not a home away from home. They are structurally sound buildings in safe locations that are designed in the planning stages by the disaster management programs to house victims of an emergency or disaster or pending emergency or disaster. And the time frame for their use is generally brief, not more than a few days, but depending on the severity of the situation, this stay can be extended for a while.
Now, there is a difference between a Category 1 and a Category 2 emergency shelter. Please explain.
That's true, Ronnie. A Category 1 shelter would be those shelters that are open to the public before or on the approach of a hazard. Since this is hurricane season, I'll refer to hurricane. So we have the information from the Met Office that the system is coming. The system seems to be packing winds that may be stronger than our structure can bear. So we decide that we want to go to a shelter. Those ones would be Category 1 shelters. Category 2 shelters, those are the ones that would be opened if they're still in acceptable condition after an emergency. So Category 1 is on the approach of and before and during an emergency, while Category 2, these are the ones that you would go to after emergency. So let's say you decided that you were going to stay at home, but your house did suffer some damage, which renders your house uninhabitable for the time, then an emergency shelter Category 2 would be your best bet at that time.
Are all emergency shelters government-owned buildings?
No, Ronnie, they're not. And that's why it's important to read through the full listing to see which shelter is closest to you, as it may not be a government facility. Oftentimes, persons may bypass the nearest shelter because it's not a government-owned facility and ramble looking for the next government-owned building. But usually, we always recommend to persons, even before the start of the hurricane season, you get your listing and you decide, because the full listing will have both the government and the private operated centers, and you determine which one is closest to you, whether it be as the crow flies, as they say, or your road network, but you determine which one is closest to you, and you start to make your plans in terms of evacuation, possible evacuation based on that. So you have a couple of routes to get there. And we always like to say you look for the high water route. And this is basically a route that is accessible even if there's flooding in the area, so that you know which way to go. You try to choose a route that doesn't have a lot of trees overhanging the road, which then may make the road impassable on your attempt to get to the emergency shelter. So a lot of this, as I said, is prior planning. So you get the listing early o'clock. No, it's not too late. You can get the listing and you can go through and see which is your nearest facility and make plans for that.
Where can we get a listing?
Ronnie, the full list of the 2021 emergency shelters is available through the Barbados Government Information Services. And you can use their website. It's gis.gov.bb/download/emergency-shelter-booklet-2021. That's a mouthful, but easy way to do it. You can Google it and put in 2021 Barbados Emergency Shelters and you can find it. It's also available on the Department of Emergency Management's website at www.dem.gov.bb. That's www.dem.gov.bb.
Listening to VOB 92.9 FM this half hour with the compliments of Sagicore Life.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicore General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicore General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicoregeneral.com. Sagicore General, wise financial thinking for life.
Rules, important to govern anything, anyone, anywhere. And emergency shelter management has its rules too. Please share, Richard.
Those are perhaps critical to the steady and orderly function of any institution. And one thing we want to start with, in light of the COVID pandemic, persons must wear a mask while in the shelter. Just that you always remember that. You know, we always suggest to that persons walk with their hand sanitizer. Some will be provided at the center, but you know, it always feels good to have your own. You must not deface or damage the shelter or any of its furniture or equipment. And this can, if you do these things, you can be prosecuted for this damage. Unseemly or indecent, antisocial behavior, use of violence, use of profane language, drunkenness or inebriation of any sort will not be tolerated and will result in prosecution if there's such a breach of the offense. Smoking is not allowed in any of the emergency shelters, neither is the consumption of alcohol in any form. Firearms and offensive weapons will not be allowed in the emergency shelter. So be cognizant of that for licensed firearm owners. You would need to make plans ahead of time for the safekeeping, perhaps at a police station or something for these. But you know, knives and so on, not allowed. So if you think of meal prep and so on, yes, you can think of plastic knives. They're quite handy, and plastic utensils are quite handy in emergency situations. But generally, you know, a breach of common sense is a breach of the law in this instance, so to speak. So you would obviously want to be on your best behavior, you want to be courteous, you want to be helpful. But of course, you want to recognize the social distancing, wearing of masks and so on, given the current prevailing climate.
At the start of the program, you did mention that provisions are necessary when you're heading to a shelter. And you just spoke about the things that we cannot take to a shelter. So be more specific as to what we should take to a shelter.
Ronnie, in one of our early episodes, we would have mentioned the concept of a go bag and what makes up a go bag. A go bag is a bag that you pack in advance And you can technically pack it at the start of the hurricane season and have it on standby in the event of an emergency. So some of the things that you would want to have in your go bag would be medications, prescription medications, bottled water, canned and dry foods. You want to have flashlight, transistor radio, a pillow and a sheet. You also want to have your important documents in a sealed watertight container, perhaps a charger pack, battery pack to charge your devices, your phone, maybe your tablet. You also want to have some level of cash, but in small denominations. And when it comes to cash, you know, you should always keep the cash on your person at all times. It shouldn't be stored in your bag. Another good thing that you can have as well, too, is a quiet form of entertainment, perhaps a pack of cards or maybe a book to help pass the time and to take your mind off the emergent situation. But those basic creature comforts that you would want to have, obviously, you would need to take them with you to ride out the storm in an emergency shelter.
What about last minute checks? You spoke about the go bag, but there must be some last minute checks. Same way you leave the house on a normal day, there have to be some last minute checks you make heading to a shelter.
Yeah, Ronnie. Leaving to go to a shelter, the decision should always be made in a timely manner. Leave early and preferably, if possible, in daylight. Avoid flooded areas. But even before you leave your home, you want to make sure you go around and you turn off the water mains. If you have natural gas, you want to turn off that main. You can also flick the breaker switch and turn off your main electrical breaker. Even if you have bottle gas, you can disconnect that bottle and make sure that it is in a well-ventilated area. As you traverse to the emergency shelter, you want to avoid flooded areas and don't attempt to cross stretches of water. If you see dung power lines in your way, turn around. They may be dung, but they may not be disconnected. They may still be charged. And the last thing you would want to do is to receive what I would term the shock of your life, so to speak. Drive carefully. Do not travel further than necessary. So it's not a time for sightseeing. You want the shortest route between your home and the emergency shelter. And just remember that some roads may be blocked or there may be some level of traffic, as you are probably not going to be the only person heading towards the emergency shelter, depending on the nature of the emergency. So bear that in mind. Also, take extra precautions if you're told to evacuate at night. The darkness can hide lots of dangers. You know, it can hide, like I said, the electrical wires, it can hide floodwaters. And if you find yourself suddenly driving through floodwaters and your car should stall, get out immediately and climb to higher ground. You know, you don't want to stay in the vehicle because with water rising, that vehicle then could become overborne with water and you become trapped in that vehicle. And that's not a situation we'd want. When you have found a safe refuge, stay put. So, if it is perhaps that you are on the top of the car and you can call for help, do that, but stay put. You on the high ground, you want to make sure that you're safe and you don't want to be coming down then to go to another area of shelter unless you have to, because as you appreciate, if you're on the top of a car and it's coming up and you get down into that water chances are fast moving and it could pose serious dangers to you and could be very injurious to you.
And having navigated all of those challenges, what should you do on arrival at the shelter?
Ronnie, the first thing you should do when you get to a shelter, I would say, is perhaps to register each and every member of your family or group as soon as you get there. Always be knowledgeable that, you know, if a conflict should arise between persons, you know, it is a high stress environment and persons may be, you know, somewhat anxious. If a conflict should arise, the shelter manager will decide the course of action. And in a situation like this, the shelter manager or shelter warden is the from school days, is sort of say like the principal, you know, the head teacher, the I don't want to say chaperone because it kind of connotates, you know, a pleasant environment. But that's the person in charge, the head honcho. So you want to be cognizant of who the shelter warden is, the shelter manager, and follow their cue in terms of, you know, your behavior, your actions, etc. And also remember, you know, this is not your home and you're in a shelter with other persons. So you also want to make sure to keep your area clean, tidy, and sanitary, not just for your concern, but also for everyone else that's using the facility.
Okay, so as we look at that aspect of the shelter management when you get there, and bearing in mind that it is not your home, and you have conducted yourself in your home well, you carry that behavior with you to the shelter, how can we get in contact? I mean, you mentioned the grab bag to go. So that's like a sudden movement, but preparation for that sudden movement. Getting in contact with the DEO now, to be clear about who you call and when, respecting the fact that the information you provided says who's in charge and who isn't in charge. How do you get in contact with your nearest district emergency organization?
Okay, the district emergency organization is what I would say is sort of like a subgroup of the overall Department of Emergency Management. So while the Department of Emergency Management will have the overall and overarching thought process and so on at a national level, then we then break that down based on the constituency level to what we call the DEO, the District Emergency Organization. And the information in terms of your DEO can be is contained on the Department of Emergency Management's shelter list, and that's available on the Barbados Government Information Services website. That list is also available through the DEM directly. So there are several ways that you can contact your DEM. And, you know, it should never be a mad scramble to know where your DEM is. You first start by identifying which constituency you are in. And so once you have that listing, you can then see the initial contact. And from as early as the start of the hurricane season, what you really should be doing is familiarizing yourself with the DEO and perhaps even saving that contact number to your mobile phone so that in the event of an emergency, you can be in contact with the DEO to determine if the emergency shelter closest to you is in fact open as yet, so that you can plan your evacuation and so on accordingly. So it's always important, you know, Barbados has several layers of guidance and protection. And, you know, the closest one to you would be the DEO. And at this time, I would also like to suggest to any able-bodied persons who may have had a thought in the past of volunteering with your district emergency organization, don't think too long. I think it's a brilliant thing to do, especially if, as I said, if you're able-bodied, young, fit, strong. Also, if you're of sound mind and you may not be as physically fit as you thought, you can still be of assistance in terms of logistical planning and so on for your district emergency organization. And who knows, this may be a chance where you actually can help save lives. You make your community safer, and of course, you make it better for everyone in your district. And by district, I mean the wider district in terms of your constituency. So, of course, if you are in a position, feel free to reach out to your particular DEO and explain to them that you're interested in volunteering. They will go through the process and everything with you, and then you make the determination if this is something that you really want to get involved with, and then you move from there.
You're listening to VOB 92.9 FM this half hour with the kind compliments of Sagicor.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
Thank you, Maurice. Just to clarify, Sagicor General making this half hour possible. Richard, we've gone through the entire range of questions relative to emergency shelter. One point that we need to emphasize is the point of pets and emergency shelters.
Right. So in Barbados, pets are not allowed in the emergency shelters. So one of the things you need to look at, well, I should say more than pets and livestock. So one of the things that you should do in your emergency planning is to make provisions for your pets. In some instances, there may be local shelters like the RSPCA who may be able to accommodate them. But given the numbers that we've seen in the local shelters recently, that's not always going to be possible. You may have a friend who also has a similar pet. You can socialize your pets together in advance, and you can make a plan with that friend to say, well, you know, Ronnie, you know, my Rottweiler and your Rottweiler get along well. In the event of a hurricane, I wonder if I would be able to house my Rottweiler by you. And once that's prepared in advance, some of the things that you obviously would need to take in mind is that just like it is not a hotel for you, an emergency shelter, you cannot rightfully expect your friend or relative to take care of your pets ad infinitum for you. So you want to make sure you pack some food for your pets. And the suggestion is always to pack as much wet food as possible, because the wet food then reduces the water consumption of that particular animal. And we all know in the passage of a hurricane, sometimes our water supply is disrupted, or it may become cloudy or discolored, and you want to take advantage of that. In terms of livestock, let's say cows and sheep, you may want to even take a look at contacting the Ministry of Agriculture in advance to see if they may have room that they could accommodate some of your livestock. And obviously, the idea would be to have this done in a timely manner, but have your planning so that they're there for a shorter period as possible. So access to trailers and so on to be able to move your livestock would also be important. And if you perhaps are a small farmer, you do not have the vehicle and trailer for yourself, you reach out to a friend or a colleague who can transport these animals for you. But definitely, Ronnie, pets and livestock are not allowed in emergency shelters, both private and public. So that's something that you need to plan well in advance. And the bigger the animal, the more planning that should go into it, because as you would appreciate, it does become a little more important than to safeguard that animal in the event that you yourself have to evacuate to emergency shelter. And if you do evacuate to emergency shelter, at the first opportunity you get, you know, you want to come back and check on your animals during that period of dislocation.
I was smiling because you were talking about the two Rottweilers knowing each other. It's like two friends, you know. I wonder what the other Rottweiler thinks when it sees Ronnie the Rottweiler coming over for a couple of days. What kind of conversation they have about the weather, you know. Things rough. You've got to be careful with the weather these days.
I was just going to say that, Ronnie. Yeah.
We think alike. Special provision at the shelters for physically challenged people.
Right. Now, not all shelters have what we call the wheelchair access. So in your planning, if there are members of your household who are differently able and will need that wheelchair access, you plan to evacuate to the shelter that has such access. Obviously, the shelter warden and so on will make provisions for you. So the ease of access to bathroom facilities, et cetera, would be as comfortable as possible. Perhaps even setting you up in an area that is close to that sort of those facilities within the shelter. So that all goes into your planning. But yes, Ronnie, there are several shelters. I believe there's at least one in each parish that will have specific wheelchair access. But outside of the wheelchair access, you can also look to the fact that, you know, your relative or loved ones or yourself may not have wheelchair access, may not be in a wheelchair, but you may be using a walker. So even when you plan your evacuation to such, it may be a good idea to use a shelter that has that sort of wheelchair access, so that you are as little dislocated as possible and it bears you less inconvenience. Because, you know, if you've ever had a broken leg, Ronnie, and you've tried going up steps with crutches, that can be a challenge. So imagine doing it with a walker. So, you know, you want to plan in advance, for yourself and those family members, so that there is as little dislocation or inconvenience as possible.
And in the event of being in a shelter, how can we get in contact with the team at Sagicor?
Ronnie, as always, you know, if you are in the shelter and you return to your home and you notice that there is damage, we have several ways that you can be contacted. You can reach us at 431-2800. On the approach of any pending hurricane, we always publish a list of emergency contact mobile numbers, so that in the event that our switchboard does go down, for whatever reason, you still have contact via mobile number. You can reach us by claimsinfo@sagicorpgeneral.com. And you can always go to our website, www.sagicorp.com. You can go to our claim section. You can actually download the forms. You can actually start to fill them out and so on, as well as you can read the steps that you would need to take to report a claim and start in the process remotely. Obviously, once you submit that information, it comes to us and it is assigned to someone in our claims department, and they will reach out to you and make the necessary arrangements. Obviously, we would need to determine the level of the damage, because oftentimes people see the big damage and don't necessarily see some of the other damages that may have occurred. So there is an assessment, a damage assessment that is gone through, and then we work towards settling your claim as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
Now, you spoke regarding those who are already on board with Sagicor. What about those people who are hearing this program now and saying, I need to get on board with Sagicor?
Ronnie, some of the same parameters will hold. You can reach us at 431-2800. That's 431-2800. You can reach us by sgi-info@sagicorpgeneral.com and send us an email outlining what your interest is. If you want to have a little more information on the specific products that are involved with our property insurance, whether it be insuring your physical building and its contents, or you may be a tenant, a renter, and you just want to insure your content, you can also find that information on our website. And that would be www.sagicorp.com. Ronnie, even if you're a small business person and you wanted to get information, you can also get that on the website. The difference would be, instead of going through the personal tab to find property insurance for individuals, you would use the business tab and you'll find the property insurance for business houses and so on. So always important to note the difference, and you get the information. And Ronnie, even if you perhaps chose the wrong tab and you went through the process and you ended up at the business side when you wanted an individual, they'll transfer you and make it as seamless as possible, and to make that process as easy and as convenient for you. So whether it be personal property insurance or business property insurance, Sagicor General offers a wide variety of options for you. And like I said before, even if you are not a homeowner and you're a tenant, we also have options for you to actually cover your contents, because we know, you know, especially with more and more persons working from home, you were invested in those things that create the difference between a house and a home. You know, your flat screen TVs, your personal computers, your stereo, your video games for the children, etc. And you want to make sure that those are all protected. And at this point, one thing I'd always say, Ronnie, whether it be your home or your contents, the thing that you should be most concerned with is the replacement value. So not the value that you may have purchased the item for back then. If you had to replace that item today, or if you had to rebuild your house today, what would be the replacement cost to rebuild your house to the current, the same specifications? And that really should be your insured value, both for the property or for the content. So that's very, very important to know.
Well, a very informative program as always today on behalf of Sagicor General. Looking forward to next week. Richard, any ideas to what you're going to be focusing on next week already?
We're kind of going to continue from where we're kind of leaving off now, talking about businesses and how businesses really need to prepare, and some of the products that we offer that kind of will help businesses through the hurricane season. As you can see, it's been eventful already. We've had a freak storm even before the start of the official season, and we would have had our brush with Elsa as well. So, you know, we talk about a lot about the individuals, but next week we're going to focus on the businesses and hurricane preparedness for you and your business.
Well, thank you, Mr. Richard Smith, on behalf of Sagicor General. Have a wonderful Wednesday and a fantastic week, Richard. Thank you.
Same to you, Ronnie, and of course, same to all you listeners, and stay safe.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorpgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.